Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us three times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. So Supreme Court Judge Ruth Bader Ginsburg, she is still alive because she just made some news. You know, there are people that they're not sure if she's still alive or not. And many are saying she's just hanging on to hopefully she can make it till 2020 because she doesn't, her and all of her left-leaning ilk, don't want Donald Trump to be able to appoint a third Supreme Court justice.
Well, I think part of that is they always take the group photograph when the before the judges are seated. What is it? It's the first Monday of October. Isn't that when they're traditionally, or the second Monday, or whatever it is? And they take that group photo. For the last several years, every time they've taken it, she's had her head down. So people just thought, well, maybe she's dead.
Yeah,
well, Ruth, it's picture day, Ruth.
Well, she's getting old, and so what if she's going to doze off during a picture? Big deal. Hasn't she earned that right?
Well, as long as she's not dead, that's what people are concerned about.
Well, the reason I'm bringing her up this morning is she just made some news last week. She was at an event, and she was awake. She was at an event in Washington, D.C., hosted by Duke Law. And she was answering questions. And she actually had nice things to say about the two new Supreme Court judges.
Right. And that would be the law school at Duke University, not some guy named Duke Law.
Yeah.
By the way.
She defends and says nice things about Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh, the two newest Supreme Court judges who were appointed by Donald Trump. She said that both of these guys are, quote, very decent and very smart. She said, I can say that my two newest colleagues are very decent and very smart individuals. Someone last week at that event asked her about these two guys. And you know, it's not surprising because even though she's a leftist Supreme Court judge, one of her best friends in life for many, many years was Antonin Scalia, who died. But he was as far to the right on the Supreme Court as she is to the left. And they said that those two used to hang out regularly. They used to hang out and play cards, and
they would do shots too.
They would do all kinds of stuff. I don't know exactly what they would drink together, but she was talking about these two guys when she was asked about them, and Ruth Bader Ginsburg said, quote, there is a very important first on the Supreme Court this term, and it's thanks to our new justice, Justice Kavanaugh, whose entire staff is all women. How about that? All of his law clerks are women, she said. And with his four women as law clerks, it's the first time in the history of the United States that there have been more women clerking at the United States Supreme Court than men. Pretty refreshing to hear, especially if you watched all the hell that Brett Kavanaugh went through when he was trying to be, when Donald Trump nominated him to be on the Supreme Court. And we're going back to his high school days saying that getting drunk and he wasn't very nice to women. And looking back at that now, it's safe to say that that was just pure desperation by people that don't like Donald Trump and didn't want another conservative put on the bench. What they put that guy through was ridiculous. I mean, I know that's a great gig if you could get it being a Supreme Court justice, but really, yeah, he had to go through what he went through just because people disagreed with him politically and just because some people despise the person that nominated him for that position. And now come to find out, look at that. He's being praised by someone who he fundamentally disagrees with on most issues, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And did you know that? I did not know that. And I'm fascinated with the Supreme Court, highest court in the land, and they don't even hear or debate 98 or 99% of the cases that come before them, because so many cases come before them, they only have time to rule on the most important ones. But I just learned something new this morning. I had no idea that that evil Brett Kavanaugh, that guy that used to drink a lot of beer when he was in high school and college, that he's the first Supreme Court justice to have all women on his staff. All women are clerks. All of his clerks are women, and all of his staff are women. And for the first time ever, according to Ruth Bader Ginsburg, that's a Supreme Court first where there are more women clerks than men clerks. And I think that's a cool thing.
And then she went back to sleep.
Mm. And then Brett Kavanaugh, I think, popped another beer here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. Over the weekend, and a 16-year-old video game player won $3 million for playing a video game, filled up an arena for playing a video game. It was the Fortnite World Cup, and that's the video game. By the way,
what did you wear? You didn't go this year.
Fortnite is the video game at the top of the list that a lot of parents say they have a tough time getting their kids to stop playing, or at least even to take a time out
to eat their vegetables.
Yeah, they play this around the clock, and evidently now it's not a complete waste of time, because this one 13-year-old kid named Kyle Giersdorf, 16 years old, he wins...
That's not a nerd name.
He wins $3 million for winning the Fortnite World Cup. And that happened yesterday. When he first picked up his controller, he was one of 40 million competitors in the game.
40 million?
Yeah. You know, because you get on and you start playing with people who are playing all over the world.
Right, but how do you, you know, you have your headset on and you're hearing 40 million voices at once. You know, you think you've got voices in your head.
Hmm.
Try that. I've got a friend and former coworker who plays different games. I don't know if Fortnite is one of them, but it's like for charity. It's for one of the hospitals, children's hospitals or something. And he will take donations to buy more lives, as they're called, and then he does these weekend gaming sessions for charity, which is pretty cool. I just do it for myself.
Well, yesterday, this 16-year-old kid walked away from that championship, the Fortnite World Cup. They're calling that the World Cup, too. And he did it in the middle of Arthur Ashe Stadium. In New York City, that's where they play the United States Open in tennis every year. That's the big tennis court up there in Queens.
So they do this outdoors?
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. The stadium is packed, and the video game players are on the court, and isn't that something? So you know,
maybe I have a second career after all as a gamer.
The next time you're trying to get your kid off of his or her video games, maybe if they're playing Fortnite or whatnot, maybe it's not a complete waste of time. Although the odds are kind of tough, if they are really good, who knows? They might be able to take center court and win $3 million for playing video games. That's something, huh?
You cannot be serious.
Today's National Chicken Wing Day. We're going to talk a little bit about wings coming up here on Bayou 95.7.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us 3 times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans. And LaMarc Ford. So, over the weekend, I didn't get a chance to see the new Quentin Tarantino movie, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I definitely want to go check that one out. That's one of the movies I want to see in a theater before it comes to my living room. Because it looks really good. And we mentioned last week how one of the most infamous houses, not only in Los Angeles, but in all of the United States of America, was for sale. And I don't know if someone had bought it yet. The Quentin Tarantino movie, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, one of the things it talks about and is in there is the Charles Manson family's murders of Sharon Tate and Jay Sebring and their friends the first night of the Manson family murders. Well, the next night, the night after that, they went down the road a few miles, about 15 miles, and they killed Mr. and Mrs. Leo Lambianca. And that house is for sale. And I had mentioned last week on the show, it's cheaper, less expensive than every other house in that neighborhood. They're asking $1.9 million for it. I think it might have sold. The real estate agent said that it was going to go within 48 hours at that price. And I brought that up on the show, and I asked, would you buy a house like that? An infamous house? A house where two people were murdered right there in the house, and he was murdered in the living room, and I believe she was murdered in the bedroom. Well, I saw this over the weekend, and it made me think of that.
Well, hang on 1 second. We have, ironically, we have breaking news and the sounder from August of 1969, 50th anniversary of the sounder. The house owned by Manson gang murder victims Lino and Rosemary LaBianca has, turn that off already. You're giving me a headache. Has been sold to Zach Bagans, the star of the Travel Channel show Ghost Adventures.
Whoa!
TMZ first reported the deal, but did not state the sales price for the home, which was listed at just short of $2 million. They did say it received close to the asking price. There were multiple offers, but didn't create a bidding war. It went rather fast. It should close in September.
So a man who does a show on the Travel Network about dead people?
Well, Ghost Adventures. I haven't seen the show. I'm not familiar with it. I'm guessing it's
about ghosts.
Right.
Buys that house where the LaBiancas were viciously murdered.
He's a paranormal investigator. He has a team of co-investigators. They investigate the most notorious haunted places in the world. Is that the one where everything is beeped? I hate those shows where everything is beep, beep, beep.
No, until I talk to someone who's dead or until I talk to a ghost or have an experience with a ghost, I have a tough time believing in them.
Another thing that I have trouble watching is the shows that are shot with night vision goggles where everything is bright green. That doesn't work for me.
Especially I got that new nice television set. Yeah, yeah, you're right. I'm not going to watch it like that.
I'll take a Frasier rerun any day.
Well, we'll see if that ghost guy finds anything in that house. If there's ghosts anywhere, you would think that might be a place, the LaBianca house. Well, the reason I brought this up again is because over the weekend up in Boston, the house where Whitey Bulger killed and buried several of his victims is up for sale.
Maybe what's his name? Zach Brown? Zach Bagans. Maybe he can buy that house.
Yeah, I don't know how much money he makes for doing that show on the Travel Network, but The Boston House, where the Irish gang leader, Winter Hill gang leader, James Whitey Bulger, that's where he tortured, murdered, and buried some of his victims. That's up for sale. And that's a place in South Boston, and they're asking $3.5 million. That's about 30 times what the current owners paid for it.
How many square feet?
It's in South Boston. It's a 5,000 square foot lot in what is now one of the city's hottest neighborhoods. It's interesting. You know, I lived and worked up there for years.
Finished basement or not finished basement?
Well, I think...
I may make an offer here.
I think a few of his victims were finished in the basement. Yes. That's exactly where they were. You know, it's something how neighborhoods change. Because when I lived up there and I worked in Boston for years, that neighborhood in South Boston, which became famous in a few movies and television shows.
Sure.
It would never have been called one of the hottest and one of the fastest growing neighborhoods. But that's what's happening in cities all over America. Call it gentrification. They run out of pricey real estate. Then they start going to the poorer parts of town, fixing it up. And then that becomes nice. Now, Whitey Bulger never lived in that house. That was one of his associates' house, but that's where he did a lot of his dirty work.
Well, I was going to say he did some of his most memorable work there.
Yeah, I guess Whitey didn't want to kill people and torture people and bury them where he was living at the time in South Boston. So he went to one of his gang members' homes.
Now, what was the deal? His brother was a police officer?
No.
Or FBI?
No, his brother was the Senate president.
Oh, okay.
Billy Bulger. He was the Senate president, and that's when Mitt Romney was the governor. And everybody agreed that Billy Bulger was the most powerful political person in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. He had more power than Mitt Romney, even though Mitt Romney was governor. And then
still trying to figure out why Michigan native Mitt Romney is governor of Massachusetts.
Well, he moved
always
there.
Yeah.
And he likes Utah too.
Hmm. Well, the mayor here is from California, so I guess, you know. Everybody has to be from somewhere.
And when Billy Bulger left that job, he became the president of the University of Massachusetts system. When your brother is literally the most feared and most wanted gangster. Yeah, it was, some people had a tough time believing, wait a minute, you don't know anything about what your brother's doing? You don't know where he is? Because this is when Whitey was on the lam. You don't know if he's dead or alive? You don't know what's going on? Well, anyways, we'll see who buys this house. 2.5 bedrooms. Look, I've heard of half bathrooms. What the heck is a half bedroom? Doesn't have a closet? Maybe it's for little people? Dwarves?
I think it has a futon instead of a full-size bed.
2.5
A rollaway, a trundle bed, a Murphy bed, I don't know.
2.5 bedroom house belonged to the Bulger associate.
I think that's a misprint, 2.5 bedrooms.
A guy named Pat Nee.
Who?
In the 1980s, that's who owned the house. And Whitey would say, hey, Pat, we're coming over your house. And that's where he would take people. That's where he would kill people, torture them, and then bury them either under the ground, under the basement, or in the backyard. They found a few bodies. And we'll see how much that house, they say it's going for a lot more than the people who bought it in the mid-'80s. $3.5 million for another infamous house. I'd have the heebie-jeebies, man. That's just me. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. So there's this rapper, hip-hop musician guy in the news because he's having an issue in Sweden. And even, actually, the president, Donald Trump, tweeted support for this guy. His name is Asap Rocky. And the S in his name is a dollar sign. And he evidently... he's having some issues in the country of Sweden, and Donald Trump said, hey, Sweden, come on, let this guy go. What's the issue? What's his problems over there? Well, it's gotten so crazy that a fan of ASAP Rocky was arrested after she threatened to blow up the Swedish embassy in Washington, D.C. I'm thinking about this. Remember, Osterlund, my last name, that's of Swedish descent. And so anytime anything in Sweden makes news, I pay attention. Because Sweden doesn't make that much news when it comes to the country making news. But this woman named Rebecca Cantor placed a bag down near the entrance to the Swedish embassy in Washington, D.C.
Oh, boy.
Threw liquid from a glass of Coca-Cola, from a glass Coca-Cola bottle at the doorway and yelled, quote, "I'm going to blow this mother bleeper up," unquote. The next day, she returned to the Swedish embassy in Washington, D.C., where she screamed at personnel and made statements about ASAP Rocky, who is currently being held by authorities in Sweden. Soon after she refused to leave the embassy, she was taken into custody by Secret Service agents. You see how laid back, even at the Swedish embassy, they are. This girl, one day she shows, this young woman shows up there, and she throws a, places a bag near the entrance of the embassy. She throws liquid from a glass Coca-Cola bottle at the doorway and yells, "I'm going to blow this mother bleeper up." And then they let her go home.
I think you refer to that as a Kolotov cocktail.
And then she comes back the next day. And then when she started screaming again and made more statements, that's when she was finally arrested. Obviously, she's a big fan of this musician, ASAP Rocky. I'm not really familiar with much of his stuff, to be honest with you.
It says probably ASAP, like ASAP.
ASAP?
Yeah. But yeah, he's got that dollar sign, so he's a clever guy.
Well, evidently, he's in Sweden, and they had a couple of...
Is he
of,
big in Sweden?
Well,
Sweden! They
had a couple of issues with him, and they were holding him over there, and I just saw last week...
How did the president get involved?
That Donald Trump tweeted on behalf of this guy.
Big fan.
Saying, "Hey, come on, Sweden." I'm paraphrasing, but he was like, "Hey, why don't you let this guy go?" And so even Donald Trump started trying to get this guy out of Sweden. Coming up next, we look at today in history. We call the segment "Why Today Doesn't Suck." Suck is next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. The John Osterlund Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. It's time for us to look at today in history, and we call the segment...
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
July 29th. Hey, NASA was created today in 1958.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
The United States Congress passes legislation establishing the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, NASA, a civilian agency responsible for coordinating America's activities in space. And they've done a great job. And then I know...
Well, except for, I think of 17 astronauts that were lost, but not necessarily anybody's fault.
But you would have to think that was expected. I don't know the exact number, Brewster, but you would have to think that's expected when we were dealing with stuff that we never, ever dealt with before. July 29th, it was today in 1967.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
The Doors had their first number one hit. Light My Fire became number one in America today in 1967. And that was the second single off of their first album. Their debut album, Break On Through, was the first single, and it didn't really break on through, at least into the charts, but it was the second single. And they didn't make that song to be played on radio because that song was about 7 minutes long. Songs didn't get played on radio that were that long, so they had to edit a big chunk of that, the keyboard solo and the guitar solo. They had to get it down to about 3.5 minutes, and that's how they that's how Light My Fire became number one on the on the Billboard charts today in 1967. January 29th. And it was today in 1987 that Jerry Garcia reached an agreement with Ben and Jerry's. And by the way, the Jerry in Ben and Jerry's was not Jerry Garcia. It was a different Jerry. But Jerry Garcia, the Grateful Dead, reached an agreement with Ben and Jerry's over the introduction of the Cherry Garcia flavor. It was agreed that 50% of the royalties went to the Grateful Dead's Rex Foundation. And by the way, that charity that the Grateful Dead have continues to this day. July 29th. It was today in 1974, the band Rush named a new drummer. Neil Peart becomes the new drummer from Rush, and he replaced John Rutsey. Rutsey had some health issues, and plus, Rutsey could not play as well or write lyrics as well as Neil Peart. And I know Rush fans know this, but a lot of other people may not realize this. Neil Peart, besides being the great drummer for Rush, he wrote all the lyrics. He was their lyricist.
And I'm not a not a big reader at all, but if you're a fan of the novelist Ayn Rand, Atlas Shrugged.
Yes, and I like that.
And those works, that is the number one main, I would say, influence for Neil's lyrics in throughout his work with Rush. Sadly, John Rutsey has left this mortal coil. Complications from diabetes as well as other problems he had. It was on this date, July 29th, 1973.
My today doesn't suck.
If you're familiar with the Led Zeppelin movie, the song remains the same. This was highlighted in there. They had the very corny graphic of the spinning newspaper as it's spinning, coming off of the presses. Led Zeppelin robbed of over $180,000. In fact, that was the amount stolen from their hotel safe deposit box in New York City, and that is featured in that movie, which, as I mentioned last week, when I was a teenager, I thought that was the greatest movie ever made. The song remains the same, and it's horrible.
But that's not the only movie that the spinning newspaper headline, you used to see that in several movies and television shows.
Well, it's like a cliche from, I guess, the 40s, 50s.
Something we won't be seeing anymore because newspaper circulation is yesterday's news.
It was on... It was on this date, July 29th, 1972.
My today doesn't suck.
Alice Cooper peaked at number 7 on the Billboard Hot 100 singles charts with School's Out, a song you'll hear every so often here on Bayou 95.7. That his first or their first top single, top 10 single in the United States, and I highly recommend that entire album, School's Out, if you're a fan of just all kinds of styles on there. I mean, it's hard rock, it's progressive, there's some jazz influences on there. Mrs. Brewster and I drugged Mrs. Brewster along to Beau Rivage last year to see Alice Cooper, and he's coming back, and last year it was like the schizophrenic tour or something like that. The t-shirt that I bought has two Alice heads on it. This year, it's the greatest name for an Alice Cooper tour you could ever think of. It's called Alice Cooper, Old Black Eyes is Back.
Old Black Eyes.
Isn't that cool?
Good nickname.
Black Eyes. Black, gonna say that slowly. Black Eyes is back. It was on this date, July 29th, 1967.
My today doesn't suck.
The Doors went to, did you do this one, The Doors?
Yes,
you did
numero uno.
Yes. Also in Rush news, since you covered that one, birthdays today include number 66 for bass player and keyboard player, and hands and feet, and I think maracas, and everything else you could think of. Castanets. Happy birthday to Geddy Lee, also with birthdays today. Also turning 66, a guy who pretty much laid the groundwork for him being one of the greatest of all time just for producing the great documentary, The Civil War, Then he did baseball. Then he did jazz. Then he did the national parks. Then he did on and on and on. We're talking about filmmaker Ken Burns.
And it's safe to say Ken Burns, as we sit here in the year 2019, he is officially America's documentary end.
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely. Big fan of Ken Burns' work. Birthdays today also include actress Allison Mack, a guy who's trying to make his way in the Indy 500, especially, and IndyCar. Formula One champion Fernando Alonso, he better get with it. He's 38. He's getting close to being past his prime. Actors Will Wheaton and Stephen Dorff with birthdays today. Today is National Lipstick Day. It's National Lasagna Day. And it is National Chicken Wing Day. And I'm going to have to celebrate that one in some form because, man, do I love chicken wings.
July 29th. It was today in 1994.
My today doesn't suck.
Pink Floyd guitarist David Gilmour got married. He married a woman named Polly Sampson, obviously not his first wife, and they got married at England's Marylebone Registry office.
Yes, I mentioned that when Mrs. Brewster and I went to London. The Marylebone Registry office is where John Lennon and Yoko Ono were there when he was fighting for his green card. Paul and Linda got married there. I think Ringo and his first wife got married there. It is right roughly across the street from the tube station, the Marylebone station, where they filmed the opening of the movie Hard Day's Night. So it figures in, that area right there, greatly into Beatledom.
Well, I would have thought Gilmore would have maybe had a big party with family and friends instead of running into an office.
I don't know about that, but I do know this, that David Gilmour and Polly are still married after all those years.
And finally, July 29th. It was today in 1981.
My today doesn't suck.
I remember when this happened, being a kid. Prince Charles married Lady Diana.
Yes.
This was the most viewed wedding, I believe, in the history of mankind at that particular time.
Well, and still, at least at that time, one of the biggest global audiences of anything, of any television event.
I mean, they showed it on the big three networks here, and in 1981, that's when cable TV was just starting out. And But I remember, because it was summertime, I was with friends in a pool, and then one of the mothers said, "Hey, I got this on TV over here." And when you're a kid, you don't care about that.
Right.
And too bad that didn't last longer. And too bad she didn't last longer.
Exactly.
Princess died.
Yes. And that is a segment that we call...
My Today Doesn't Suck.
And as Brewster mentioned, today is National Chicken Wing Day. Coming up, I got a few things I want to mention about chicken wings. So some interesting wing bits coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. So Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, she's one of the four congresswomen that the president has been going back and forth with. She's a congresswoman up north there in Minnesota. Congresswoman Ilhan Omar and her husband are headed for divorce. He blames her for their problems, but she blames Jews. That's what she's saying. She's been called in by other Democrats saying, "Hey, enough with the anti-Semitic tweets when it comes to Israel and such." So I hope they can just find happiness, whether it's together or apart. Coming up next, it's National Chicken Wing Day. I got some interesting statistics about chicken wings here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock, the John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, Ann Lamarck Ford. If I told you a 44-year-old guy was dating a 22-year-old woman, what would your reaction be? Would you say that's too much of an age difference? Would you say good for him? Would you say gross? What would you say? And does it matter who the person is? The only reason I brought that up is because actor Leonardo DiCaprio, who is 44 years old, his girlfriend is 22 years old. Her name is Camille Marone. And the only reason I brought this up is I guess once it became public that these two were a couple, people have been attacking her on social media, on her Instagram, saying it's disgusting. No, why don't you just date your father? And it's probably coming from people who are jealous. But what's interesting about this woman is her mother was a longtime companion of actor Al Pacino. So I guess maybe that runs in their genes to find a Hollywood actor. But just some of the things that these people are telling this woman on her social media, because she's 22 years younger than her boyfriend. She said, quote, "I just read some of my comments on my Instagram, and my God, people are so mean and full of anger with people that they know nothing about. I guess I just hope people learn to live with a little less hatred and place their time and interests elsewhere, because living without hatred feels pretty good." You know, we've called social media a sewer on this radio show, whether it's Twitter or Instagram or Facebook. It lets people just unleash their negativity. And there's plenty of good things about social media as well. But this is one
They're
of,
just getting harder and harder to find in between all of the sewage.
And you know, Brewster, what's interesting about that is you can learn a lot about your Facebook friends and such with what they post, even though they're not thinking, "I'm going to sit down and I'm going to be negative. I'm going to throw fireballs at people." Many of their posts are negative. That's just how they are. They're just like the other day, I was just scrolling down on my Facebook feed, you know, and this one guy was like, "Man, my day really stunk when my car broke down, and then, you know, I was late for work." And
it's 120 degrees in New Orleans.
Yeah, and I mean, it was just like, well, didn't anything positive happen to you today that you could have put in a Facebook post? Did anything good or nice happen to you? But just watching these people attack Leonardo DiCaprio's girlfriend on her social media account just because she happens to be 22 years younger than him. And they're really going after her, and I can't read half of this stuff here on the show, but in my opinion, it's probably coming from people who are jealous, fans of his, who maybe they wanted to hang out with Leonardo DiCaprio, but the reason I started this by asking, is it a big deal to you if there's a couple that's has a 22 year age difference in their relationship? And does that make a difference? If they're happy, isn't that all that should matter? You know, the first thing I think of when I think of things like this is, you know, how much do they have in common? Because that's a generation apart. And we always know that we're not like the generation ahead of us. We're not like the generation behind us. Whatever your generation is, that's... do you have things to talk about? Do you have things in common? But when, you know, one person happens to be one of the biggest movie stars in the world, and then the other person is an extremely attractive woman, 22 years his junior, I don't know if that's the same as any other couple who were separated by 22 years dating. I wanted to mention that, and I also wanted to bring this up because I've been reading about it, and today is National Chicken Wing Day, and there are chicken wing places who are celebrating that, and you and I are the ones who are supposed to benefit, the general public. I know Hooters is having a big deal on chicken wings today because today is National Chicken Wing Day. And, you know, when we do the segment, Why Today Doesn't Suck, and I asked Brewster, you know, why is it these days? Sometimes it makes sense, but then other times it doesn't make any sense why it's these days.
Well, let's see what my source for these national days says about today. Do you have it there?
No, but it's also National Lasagna Day.
Right, and National Lipstick Day. So how do those three?
Are we running out of... I guess there's only... so many days in a year, and there's so many animate objects that that we enjoy and that we use in this country. I guess they have to start sharing days now.
I guess so. This gives what pretty much I think everybody knows by now, different variations on the story, but it supposedly happened in a bar, supposedly happened in Buffalo, New York, where somebody came into the Anchor Bar and the proprietor only had some celery, some blue cheese dressing, and some chicken wings, and mixed up some Frank's Red Hot Sauce, which, according to legend, is the original hot sauce used. Mixed that up with some butter in a pan and tossed the wings in it, and there you go.
Before that...
But why today, July 29th? It would be make a nice little bow on the package here if I could say, well, it was on...
Where they did that.
Right. Yeah. Let's see. After a number of years, different establishments selling the version, blah, 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 blah. The city of Buffalo in 1977 made the proclamation that July 29th every year from now until evermore be National Chicken Wing Day. So you can thank Buffalo, New York for this day.
And before that, people didn't regularly eat chicken wings? That was a part of a chicken that was thrown away?
Well, you could get chicken wings for, you could get hundreds of chicken wings for pennies on the dollar before before some of the cooking shows highlighted the chicken wings and how easy they were to prepare at home. You just make two cuts. You throw the tip away, or if you throw the tip into the stock pot and simmer those for chicken stock. I read this on online. No, but I mean, I'm a bit of a cook myself, and chicken wings are easy to do. You cut the tip off, cut the joint, and then you've got the drumette part, and then you've got what's the other part? The arm part, and there you go. I mean, there's tons of things you could do with them. But you used to be able to. Used to be like brisket. A butcher would sell you a brisket for whatever you would offer, basically, to get rid of them. And then guess what happened? Everybody started smoking and started. Barbecuing, and learn that like chicken wings, brisket has a lot of tendons and whatnot that will cook down when cooked low and slow, and that's what makes brisket so delicious. The chicken wing has a lot of gelatin within it, and cooked at a certain temperature can be either crispy, or like if you have some teriyaki wings, those are good too.
Well, and I also know
this has been Brewster Cooks on Bayou.
I also know rib tips. People used to throw those away when you're eating a rack of ribs. I know the tips of the ribs when they would be prepared, they would get rid of those.
There are a lot of things like that used to be considered almost scrap. Yeah,
yeah, and so I Hooters says today is their favorite holiday, and I didn't know that July 29th.
Should we
Chicken not, Wing Day is a holiday. I didn't know that.
Should we not be working today? Is that why everything's turned off, basically?
Yeah. So Hooters is having a great deal on their chicken wings. They're saying it's their favorite day of the year. It's their favorite holiday. So get out there and enjoy that stuff. All right, coming up here on Bayou 95.7, there's a female bank robber. They're calling. She's got a nickname, the Pink Lady. We'll tell you why. And this is fascinating. How many female bank robbers have you ever heard of? And this one is going from state to state. We'll tell you about her coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. What would you do if you were sleeping in a hotel and you woke up and there was a snake on your arm?
I would do that like I just did, for real, like when you said that.
Well, that just happened to a woman named Melinda Major. She was asleep in her hotel room in Memphis, Tennessee, Friday morning. She felt something moving around on her arm. She was in town from Nashville. She was over in Memphis for a doctor's appointment. And at first, and she's getting another doctor's appointment after this. At first, she thought it might have been her husband, until she remembered that he wasn't there with her. When she finally opened her eyes, what she saw was the stuff of nightmares. A thin green garden snake was stretched out across her arm. Quote, "I'm not a snake person," she said. "I can deal with spiders and all the icky things like that, but snakes are not my thing." She immediately jumped up and slung the snake off of her arm. It hit the headboard and bounced back onto the bed. She then leaped onto the other bed in the room and snapped a picture. The snake then started moving under the blanket, and then she jumped onto the desk in the room to call the front desk. At the Hampton Inn Walnut Grove in East Memphis.
I think I've probably been there.
Tennessee.
I'm not sure.
Do you think she should be getting a few free nights stay?
Yeah, a couple. Yeah. I was going to say free breakfast, but Hampton Inn has free breakfast anyway, so yeah, a couple free nights. Now, the good thing about that, I would have this immediate reaction. I would do the same thing, like sling it, but you would look and go, okay, well, it's a green garter snake or whatever. I mean, those aren't generally harmful.
Well, evidently.
They might. I don't think they can bite you. They might gnaw at you a little bit, but they're not poisonous, doesn't sound like.
She has stayed at this place before and this chain before, and she said, yeah, this was frightening, but I've stayed at that hotel many times over the years, and I would most definitely go back. So.
Right. It's really nothing to have a hissy fit over.
Hmm. Coming up on the show, we got to tell you about this woman bank robber. They're calling her the Pink Lady. You don't see very many women rob banks in multiple states. Stay tuned for that here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. There's a woman making headlines this morning because she's robbed at least four banks along the East Coast, with the latest bank robbery being over this past weekend. And they've nicknamed her the Pink Lady Bandit because they call her the Pink Lady Bandit because of the signature pink handbag she carried during at least two of the robberies committed over the past 8 days. So she has a fashion sense as well. The reason I'm bringing this up, have you ever heard of a female bank robber before? Not connected with her husband, like going back, or her boyfriend going back to the Bonnie and Clyde days. You know, I don't know if Bonnie would have been robbing the banks if Clyde wasn't robbing banks.
Well, Bonnie was just looking for somebody to make a star and then to latch onto his star. I mean, she was a tiny little thing, like barely 5 feet tall.
Well, so is this Pink Lady Bandit, Brewster. She's 5'2", and she weighs about 130 pounds. And
but to answer your question, no. I mean, without looking, I mean, who can think of, you know, unless you have prior individual knowledge of such a person. No, I can't think of any... You know, you go back to like what I don't know.
I guess this is a form of gender equality. You really wouldn't want to see it this way. But the FBI in Charlotte, North Carolina said Saturday that the woman had just struck a fourth bank that they know about in North Carolina. They're offering up a $10,000 reward for her. And she's going up and down the East Coast. A serial bank robber known as the Pink Lady Bandit, who is said to have hit at least four banks in three different states along the East Coast, is now being hunted by the FBI. I mean, this just makes me think. You know, you always heard of the FBI's most wanted, and they're almost always men. Bank robbers are almost always men. There's probably going to be some nut out there that says, hey, this is going to do a lot for gender equality. But she's a serial bank robber. And police are asking, hey, here's a $10,000 reward.
Well,
you have any idea who this lady is?
Now, before some of you...
looks attractive, too, in the stills I see of her.
Well, okay, that may dispel what I was going to say next. For those of you listening who may be about to tear the steering wheel right off the column because you're saying, Brewster, why doesn't Brewster say the obvious? I mean, is this a, are we led to believe that this is a, was she born a woman?
Yes, looks like a woman.
So according to you, well, okay, let me see if I can corroborate that. What's her, Ma Barker, is that you said her name is?
Pink Lady Bandit.
Pink Lady.
And
Bandit.
She, like I said, her height is about 5 foot two, so that would. And she looks, I mean, I'm looking, in one of the bank robberies, she's wearing a white...
tank top.
Yeah, with, I guess, spaghetti strings. So, I mean, and she's showing some cleavage, and she's got big hoop earrings, and some, I mean, she looks stylish for a felon.
Well, that could be a man, I'm just saying. It could be.
At 5 foot two? With the big sunglasses? Yeah, you never know, but I'm... Because usually men who have robbed banks before dressed as women, it's pretty easy to tell. And you know, the authorities, if they had thought that this was a man, they would probably say they think it's a man dressed as a woman. But they're not saying that.
You think in today's politically correct world...
Did they be allowed to say that? Get away with saying that?
They would say that?
What are you saying? All transgender robbed banks?
Right.
Yeah, exactly. In two of the robberies, she wore yoga pants, tank tops, a navy baseball hat, and then had her distinctive pink handbag.
Yeah, that's not shown in these surveillance camera stills.
And she's robbed banks now in Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Delaware, with North Carolina being the last state she robbed the bank in Charlotte over this past weekend on Saturday. You know, things that you don't see very often always have me interested because you don't see them very often. And now we're just wondering.
I thought all banks had the die pack, though, that is set to explode at a certain time once the perp makes exit of the facility. And then, boom, whatever the cash is in has a... red ink everywhere.
So do you think that most banks have that all ready to go just in case?
I thought all banks had something like that. What's my word? I'm just surprised that that's not the case.
See,
but we're talking about Carlisle, Pennsylvania, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. And what's the other one?
Charlotte, North Carolina. Yeah, she's hit four banks in the last week, and the last one being this past Saturday. I'm just trying to think how I would feel if I were dating. Because, again, from the pictures I can tell, she looks fairly attractive.
Right.
And I'm just wondering if, we were hanging out one night, and she just happened to say, oh, by the way, I rob banks. I wonder if that would make me want to continue to hang out with her, or if that would make me say, look, I don't know if I could see you anymore because you're a felon.
If I were you, I would jump on the first chance you get.
Well, that's...
Somebody said Patty Hearst. I thought of that as well, but she was under, depending on what you think, she was under duress. Or maybe not
suffering from Stockholm syndrome.
Right. And certainly not, I think we were talking about a lone female bank robber is, I think, what we're...
Yeah, and Patty Hearst, even though she did rob those banks, she was kidnapped before she robbed the banks. And many say that she had a good time once the Stockholm Syndrome kicked in, that she became friends with the people that kidnapped her and were robbing banks.
And I throw her out of this discussion just because it's a group that showed up to rob.
Good point. Yeah, this woman showed up by herself, and it doesn't say anything here about her being kidnapped. Or
well, now here's an interesting little tidbit that I just happened to put in. I put in lone female bank robber, and the first thing that pops up is a story from September of 2013. Hudson Police, this would be Minnesota. Hudson Police searched for lone female bank robbery suspect, asking for the public's help. First State Bank and Trust, Thursday of September of 2013. And you're saying, Brewster, why are you wasting time reading that? The picture looks exactly like the bank robber we're talking about, the Pink Lady Bandit. It looks just like her.
So maybe she's gone from just being wanted in one state to now because she's crossed state lines. And
wait, I'm being told now that this suspect is 5'8".
Oh, okay.
So she's either wearing lifts...
Six-inch stilettos. She wouldn't be able to get out of the bank that quick if she was wearing those.
So, well, maybe she rethought that. Maybe she rethought the heels. I don't know.
And I always like to say, look, it's nice to put yourself in the situation And yeah, you know, she would still be my girlfriend, or I would break up with her. But it's hard to say because I've never been in this situation before where I dated a woman who robs banks.
Right.
So I couldn't tell you if that would be a deal breaker for me, if that would be a turnoff. I don't know, Brewster. I'm asking the question.
Yes.
All right.
I gave you the answer.
All right. Coming up on the show, the new guy who's in charge of the New Orleans Pelicans, he just said something very interesting the other day. He's pretty much all the moves he's made so far, most of them look like the right moves. But he just said something very interesting the other day that made headlines. We'll tell you what it is coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Two things I want to mention here. Thing number one, this morning, starting at 9 o'clock up until around noontime, there's going to be traffic delays in Metairie because they're filming some scenes for NCIS New Orleans. From 9 a.m. through 12 noon, the show is filming near Veterans Boulevard and David Drive, around the 6900 block of Veterans. And they say intermittently the traffic's going to be stopped for about 5 minutes at a time, and then they'll let people go, and then they'll stop it again, I guess, while they're shooting, and then they'll let people go.
Right.
That's going to go on for about 3 hours today from 9 a.m. till noon. So if you're planning on driving or being around there, just remember that.
Cool. Thing number two is...
Thing number two, Brewster, you know where I ate on Saturday night?
No. Tell me.
I ate at Nephew's in Metairie. Nephew's was...
Not familiar.
It was opened up by the nephew of Tony Angelo.
Okay.
Tony Angelo's was that legendary place in Lakeview that was open for years. Great Italian food. And then he died, and they closed it down. And one of his nephews... a guy who cooked at Tony Angelo's, Frank Catalanato, a couple of years ago, he opened up Nephew's on West Metairie in a little strip mall there. And I went there on Saturday night, and as they say in Italy, Madonna mia. It was really, really good. That's some of the best Italian food I've ever eaten.
Yeah. So it was Buono Mangia.
Yes.
See?
And I highly recommend it if I mean, because Italian's one of my favorite types of food, and when I was invited to go there on Saturday night, I was always familiar with Tony Angelo's, and they said, yeah, well, the guy who cooked was his nephew, and he decided after Tony Angelo died, and they shut that place down in Lakeview, he opened this place, Nephew's, up over in Metairie, and it's right on West Metairie, and it's I highly recommend it.
Okay.
Good stuff. And I just wanted to tell you that because you tell me you never get out of Orleans Parish, man.
Yeah, you have to be pretty lost. Where were you going you wound up on West Metairie? Where were you headed?
A friend of mine, you met him, Anthony, a good guy. He was leaving town. He got a job in another state. It was his last night in town, and he called me up. He goes, hey, I want to go to one of my favorite places, and he invited me, and I was glad just to tag along.
Please tell me you picked up the check.
I tried, but he got like 7 appetizers for himself. And I'll admit, he wanted to share them with me, but you know me, I only eat a few things.
Right.
So he had to eat the 7 appetizers all on his own, plus his main course, his entree.
Yes.
And so, but I loved what I had, and boy, I highly recommend it. Good stuff. Nephew's over there in Metairie. All right, coming up on the show, the David Griffin. The new Wunda man.
David Geffen.
No, Griffin.
Griffin.
The new head of the New Orleans Pelicans basketball team. He just said something that had people saying, huh? I'll tell you what that is coming up next here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. So the city of Baltimore has been in the news because the president said some not nice things about it, and now he's being called out for saying what he said about it. Their congressman that represents Baltimore, Elijah Cummings, is a guy now. The president is in a Twitter war with him. And you know what's interesting about this whole Baltimore situation? And by the way, Baltimore is as violent as New Orleans. It's right there. It's neck and neck, actually. when it comes to violent crime and crime in general. Baltimore has issues. There's no doubt about it. And Baltimore also has New Orleans' old police chief, Michael Harrison. He left here to go to Baltimore. And he took a few of his favorite cops here from New Orleans with him. And one of the cops he took with him is a guy. He took a couple guys with him. And one of the guys he took with him to be his assistant, his right hand, his deputy in Baltimore, just got mugged. Him and his wife robbed and mugged at gunpoint. Daniel Murphy is his name. And he was here on the NOPD with Michael Harrison. And he was one of a couple of guys that Harrison took with him when he got the gig to be the police chief in Baltimore. And last week, Daniel Murphy, the former New Orleans cop who is now up there in Baltimore, him and his wife were walking down the street, and they were robbed at gunpoint. They got mugged. And his official, he's deputy commissioner up there. So obviously when Michael Harrison was offered the job of superintendent up there, when he decided to leave here, he wanted to take some of his, who he thought were really good cops, and he wanted to take them with him. And one of the guys he took with him got mugged at gunpoint. Him and his wife were okay. But what's interesting is, you know, anytime Donald Trump says something that's not politically correct, you know, people jump on him. Because the president isn't supposed to say bad things about an American city. He's not supposed to, you know, say negative things about any American city, even if there are many parts of Baltimore that are an absolute sewer.
Well, I would say as a reaction to that, you're going into the narrative that or the quasi-narrative we've talked about before, where don't expect presidential things from Donald Trump because he is not going to be quote-unquote presidential. So on the basis of that, you could partially throw that out, I guess. I think it's... I think he does not know how to pick his battles, and when he gets into these little skirmishes, he's a scorched earth type of competitor. He hates to lose, and once you challenge him, he's going to do whatever it takes to win. I think he's a bit of a dirty pool player, they used to call that. As you know, I lived in Baltimore for 4 years, mm-hmm. from 1982 to 1986, so roughly my early 20s spent there. And Mrs. Brewster and I, last year or 2 years ago, whichever it was, last year, I guess, took a trip through D.C., Baltimore, southern Pennsylvania, and just for... since I had not been there, went to Oriole Park at Camden Yards. I had not been there. I left before that stadium was built, so we enjoyed a couple ball games there. But my point is, just for the heck of it, we went by a couple of the homes where I had lived, a couple of the places where I lived. One was near Patterson Park, right in the heart of the city. One was in a northeast suburb called Little Flower. And the second area, well, really both areas, I could walk freely 30-plus years ago after dark. And there is no way I would do that now. And it's changed that much. And it's not a black or white thing. It's a safety issue. You look around and you see what used to be nice areas, nice stoops of the row houses, as they're known there. If you've spent any time in Baltimore or Philadelphia or places that have row houses and stoops, and it's just the blight, the decay, the lack of upkeep. It's I was shocked. I especially one place I lived in the northeast of downtown. I was shocked at how it had gone downhill in 30 years. Brewster, just 30 years.
Brewster, Baltimore has been called by many a dystopian wasteland. At this point, it is such a crap hole. And now I can say it. I do a radio show. The problem is, if the president of the United States says it, then all of a sudden people start crying on CNN.
Right.
People, it's like when he called those countries crap holes.
Right.
Those countries are crap holes. Why would people leave their country, risk their lives, their children's lives, literally die or almost die trying to get to America if their country was in a crap hole? Why would they do that? But the problem is the president of the United States has never, ever said anything like that historically before. And because this guy is not a politician, he's never been a politician, he just says what pops into his mind.
Well, he does that, but then it takes over what I said. He goes down a path where he is not going to lose. He's going to constantly have the upper hand. He wants to win. He just cannot fathom losing. So it's the gloves come off, as it were.
And look,
once you engage him.
I don't agree with that, how he says everything, but I support Donald Trump. I think if you look at the country, when you look at jobs and you look at the stock market, we're at historic rates of unemployment across the board for blacks, whites, for Latinos, women, for everybody. I mean, the employment numbers are incredible. Stock market, incredible. Things are going all right. But when you got a guy who's not a politician and then he says things, I mean, some guy on CNN the other night, one of their contributors, just started crying.
Well, I think he
was. How could he say such negative things about an American city?
Well, I think he was a Baltimore native.
Yes.
I was out of town. We were out of town, yes, over the weekend, so I didn't get to follow things too closely. But it's just, I don't understand.
It's the political correctness, Brewster.
I can understand attacking a person and a group of people, but to call out a city, that just... I'm not saying the president should be a cheerleader, but you can't be the opposite of whatever that is. An anti-cheerleader.
Well, it's political correctness, and he's someone that just speaks his mind, not being a politician. And when he says something like that about an American city, it angered a lot of people. But what's he saying? That's not true. I mean, if you look at Baltimore, I mean, it's a mess. I mean, it's such a mess. They hired New Orleans police chief. And then when the police chief gets up there with a couple of cops he took with him, the cop gets mugged?
Well, but it's sure you can say the same thing about Baltimore as you could New Orleans. I mean, historically through the late 60s and early 70s, the Inner Harbor area, which is now Baltimore's thriving tourist area, the National Aquarium is there. Patapsco Bay, which leads into the Chesapeake Bay. My point is that you could say the same thing about city or neighborhood for neighborhood, Baltimore to New Orleans. And the Travel and Tourism Board in Baltimore knows you're not going to be going here and here and here.
You've got certain neighborhoods.
Right. So it's not, sure, you have an assistant to the chief of police there have an unfortunate incident. That could happen to anyone. It sounds attention grabbing because it's a police officer and his wife walking and getting mugged. But I don't think it's indicative of necessarily the problem. I don't know what area they were in. You understand my point?
Absolutely. No. Brewster, it's right there with New Orleans. You could say almost the same thing when you look at shootings and you look at crime and you look at statistics like that.
Well,
from each other.
But the tourism industry in Baltimore still has to get up every day and put a face on and go to work. And I think that's where the president is wrong in choosing to attack a city, because all of Baltimore is not bad, just as in all, you can call it whatever you want, but all of Baltimore is not bad, just like all of New Orleans is not bad.
Sure. Well, I found that interesting over the weekend, how that story seemed to make a lot of headlines. Coming up on the show, I promise I'll tell you next what the new honcho, the guy who's in charge of our New Orleans Pelicans, what he had to say about Zion Williamson. I said, huh? Really? That's next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So the guy who's in charge of the New Orleans Pelicans now, David Griffin.
David Geffen.
Griffin.
Griffin.
He You know the moves he's made and the things that he's done. It leads me to believe, and I'm a big basketball fan, big sports fan. Leads me to believe this for the first time ever in the history of at least the recent history of the NBA being in New Orleans, that they have someone in charge who actually knows what they're doing, and I think the future looks bright. He said something the other day. Talking about the number one overall pick in the draft, Zion Williamson out of Duke. Because Zion Williamson, by the way, is 6'7" and he weighs 285 pounds.
It's like I have a twin.
Well, it's like he could be an NFL tight end as well. He could that kind of size. David Griffin, though, said yesterday that Zion Williamson is still growing. Well, think about it. If he only played 1 year of college ball, 18 years old, and now he's just turned 19. Are you still growing at 19?
Could be.
Some people are. But he might get another inch, maybe 6'8". It was interesting what he said. He said, quote, "Yeah, I don't know that we can determine a weight yet," David Griffin said. "Zion is still growing. One of the things that's lost in this whole process is that, like Jackson Hayes, another draft pick who the Pelicans just drafted, Zion is still getting taller. We're not exactly sure what he'll look like in the end. So a playing weight is not what you look for." Someone asked him if they were worried because he's a husky guy. And usually NBA players aren't as thick as that. Usually NBA players are thinner. But they were asking about a specific weight that David Griffin wanted Zion Williamson to be playing at, and David Griffin said, "How can I pick a weight if he's not done growing?" I thought that was interesting. One other thing I wanted to bring up here is a Louisiana courtroom is making national news because a judge made a bailiff duct tape someone who was on trial's mouth shut. And a lawyer got in trouble because one of the lawyers video recorded it on his cell phone. So a state district judge in Lafayette has found that the public defender who recorded it found that public defender in contempt of court. You're in contempt. The judge also barred that attorney, his name's Michael Gregory, from bringing a cell phone into that court building anymore. And she also ordered him to pay a $100 fine. It's a pretty big deal when a judge does that to a lawyer. And the reason why that happened is because a bailiff put tape on a defendant's mouth a couple of weeks ago. The defendant, Michael C. Duhon was being sentenced for theft and money laundering. However, he repeatedly interrupted proceedings verbally. He was submitting motions on his own behalf. He was doing all kinds of things. The judge repeatedly told Michael Duhon to be quiet. And when Michael Duhon wouldn't be quiet, that's when the judge ordered a bailiff to duct tape his mouth shut.
Right.
And so that other attorney who was in there recorded it, and the other judge wasn't happy about that.
Right.
But now the ACLU's not happy about this judge, the last one we were talking about, who ordered the defendant's mouth being duct taped because he wouldn't shut up.
Right. It's like when Mrs. Brewster's trying to watch Law & Order, one of her favorite shows, and I'm sitting there and saying things like, "Yeah, object this." And she's like, "We knock it off."
I don't know if I agree with the ACLU on this. If a judge keeps telling a defendant to shut up and the defendant won't shut up, what's he supposed to do? Bang, 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 bailiff. You got any duct tape? Just to put that over this defendant's mouth so I can get through what I'm supposed to say here. I don't have an issue with the
right.
With the judge doing that.
Hmm.
You know, and a lot of times courtrooms are boring. But in this particular Louisiana,
you mean every time when you say sometimes, you mean every time.
Well, the only courtrooms,
I don't know how they sit through all of that. It's just like with the with the testimony last week. How do politicians and lawyers and judges sit through that without dozing off? Because it just, I just hear that, all the droning talk, and
yeah, anytime you see a movie or a TV show that has courtroom scenes, usually they're exciting because it has to be because it's a movie or a TV show.
Right, and they have things happen that don't happen in real life. Like a witness will just start spewing off, and it's like, that doesn't happen.
But most of the time, if you're in a court of law, to get to the exciting few minutes, you've got to sit through hours and hours of incredibly boring stuff.
I'm sorry, I'm dozing off now.
Coming up next, it's our commercial free ride. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. So the last couple of weeks, there's been a video that everybody's been talking about called Zombie Chicken. It's gone viral. Have you seen it? People are at a restaurant. It looks like they're getting just ready to eat the chicken that's on the plate, and then the chicken starts moving off the plate. People are screaming.
Where have I been that I haven't seen this?
You haven't seen that?
Well, I mean, those shows, the prank shows, and World's Funniest Pranks, where they will put Vaseline or something greasy on the rail of the escalator, and then everybody touches it and they smell them, and that type of thing, and then the head pops out of the frozen food section. I've seen that gag on other shows, but now it's Zombie Chicken is making a comeback, huh?
Well, yeah, you know what? And when we're done talking about this, I'll put it on our website at bayou957.com. The slab of meat begins at rest on a plate near the edge of the table. Then an arm kind of moves, a leg kind of moves, and then a tentacle pops out. People scream, and the meat scurries to the edge of the plate and then falls to the floor.
Did you say that a tentacle pops out of the chicken?
They think that's what it is.
A tentacle.
But now experts have looked at it and say, no, that probably wasn't chicken. It may have been frog's legs, and they do that when you put salt on them. That's explaining the zombie chicken video. I'm going to go put it up on our website now. That's just about going to do it for our show today. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it. Ginty is coming in next. Ginty! He's got your music notes at noon. We'll chat again tomorrow morning around 5:30 here on Bayou 95.7.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us three times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.